Welcome to a special limited series called Sacred Screens. In this limited run, my friend Mike and I will be talking about the Oscars, what movies mean to us, and give you a rundown of each Best Picture nominee. We love movies and hope our love of them gives you a new perspective on this storytelling format. As we make our way through each film, we will talk about what we like, didn't like, the themes that made an impression on us, and ultimately, to help you, the listener, out, we break down who the primary audience for each film is. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the movies. I'm joined by my friend Mike here. We both love movies, and we want to talk about them. And February 9th is the Oscars, and so we're going to talk about the Best Picture nominees. And I think right now we just want to talk about, what is the process? How do movies get nominated? I think the general public doesn't really understand it. You know, the last 10 years of being really entrenched in Oscar stuff, I've learned a lot about the whole process. And then we're going to talk about the things we really liked this year that we think were snubbed from the Oscars. So let's start off about the Oscar race. There's all kinds of things leading up to it. I think one of the very, well, one of the very first, the thing that really kicks off award season, I think, is TIFF.
Yeah, the Toronto International Film Festival.
Yeah. I mean, we could make the case and go back to Sundance, because a lot of movies like show up there.
Yeah.
A lot of movies that were really liked at Sundance don't make it all the way to the fall.
Well, Sundance is so early on. Sundance is literally going on right now.
Yeah.
And so it goes on in January.
Yeah. So TIFF is really the place where it starts to kick off. Like, the studios that have movies they think are going to be awards contenders, they show them at that festival. They start to build hype. They start to build campaigns. What are these campaigns, Mike?
I think the best way to describe it is when you're basically running for class president at like your high school. And you are trying to build the case for everybody that's going to be voting why your film or why your performance or whatever should be rewarded. So you see a lot of actors going on a lot of different talk shows and going on a lot of different podcasts and basically trying to put themselves out there more and more to try to make the case that they should be nominated and eventually win the award.
Right. It's very much like running for political office, right? And I think it also, you just want to keep your movie or your performance in somebody's mind. So you're popping up everywhere, right? So that people don't forget about you.
And sometimes people run very, very hard campaigns. They talk about running, you know, oh, he ran a great campaign, a great Oscar campaign, and then they don't get nominated. Taron Egerton this year is a great example of that, where he was everywhere. He was showing up on everything.
He did everything he was supposed to do.
He shook all the right hands, he kissed all the right babies, and he did not get nominated for Best Actor.
But that's okay. I think.
I didn't see it.
Even you'll see in an Oscar race, you know, starting in October, somebody's going to say this is the front runner, and then it can change the next month. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen in this race was when The Irishman came out in November, everybody was saying The Irishman all the way. And now 1917 has taken all the momentum. It's won the Directors Guild. It won the Golden Globe. The Producers Guild.
It won the Producers Guild.
But not SAG Awards. SAG Awards, the Actors Guild. Parasite won the top honors there.
Yeah. Well, it was funny this year because Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out in the summer. And everybody went, we think that's going to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
And then Toronto International Film Festival happened and Jojo Rabbit won that. And everybody went, oh, maybe Jojo Rabbit is the movie. And then The Irishman came out on Netflix and everybody went, no, never mind, that's it. And then 1917 came out and everybody's kind of settling on 1917 now as the front runner.
And they're schmoozing with everybody. They're going to parties. They're shaking hands, like Mike said. Studios spend millions of dollars on these campaigns to get their pictures nominated. And I think that's where the dissonance comes between Hollywood and the general public is that The general public always feels like, well, the Oscars never represent the movies we think are great.
Where is Avengers Endgame in all of this? Where is
that's
Captain
Marvel?
That's
what I am asking. That's my deal. I thought, I remember texting you back in April when I saw it. I was like, I think this has a good chance at Best Picture nominee and Robert Downey Jr. as this actor. And neither of those happened for me.
Yeah.
But the Oscars have tried several things over the past decade to try and gather more people to watch it, more general audience. Mm-hmm. And so they open it up to the possibility. Well, first they open it up to 10 Best
Possible.
Picture nominees. Well, first it was 10.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That mm-hmm. you had 10 Best Picture nominees. They had that for like 2 years and mm-hmm. then changed the rules so you could have up to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So each year you don't know how many nominees you'll get.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's been basically, it feels a lot like your grandparents trying to listen to Beyonce in a lot of ways, where you have this very, very old establishment that has done things a certain way. And the complaint is, hey, like the movies that you guys nominate, the movies that you guys reward, really, the general public doesn't see them, doesn't like them as mm-hmm. much, doesn't relate to them as much. And so they're trying to figure out more ways to get a younger audience to come in. And one of the things that they're doing with that is they're just trying themselves to get younger. And so a lot of Academy voters that have been brought into the Academy last couple of years are younger, are people of color, mm-hmm. Are just a more diverse crowd.
Yeah, and yeah, they're trying to make it diverse too, because there's the whole Oscars are so white thing a couple years ago.
The Oscars are so white.
And they were white again this year.
They were very white this year.
And the year where everybody thought things are changing is when Moonlight won Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, Shape of Water won, which those are very different films that didn't seem like it was Academy type.
Those are not typical Oscar movies.
Right. And then last year, Green Book won. And then everybody was like, we are back to square one. And this year, 1917's the front runner right now. And it feels the same way as like Green Book, but not, I think 1917 is a better movie.
1917 is not nearly as problematic, I'll say, as Green Book is.
But it still feels very typical Oscar.
It is. Stuff. It's very, you know, it's a war movie. It's very, very beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
All about the bravery of men and their valor and all that.
Yeah, which a lot of our Best Picture nominees deal a lot with men and their problems.
And their anger.
So that's just kind of a little summary or history about what the Oscars are and how they get nominated. And it's catching the right momentum at the right time, I think, for a lot of these films. Mm-hmm. If we knew this year, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Irishman, what was the other one?
1917, even Marriage Story.
Yeah, that they were all going to get nominated. They mm-hmm. were like lock-ins, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But so let's talk about what are some of the things we really liked this year at the movies and we thought could have possibly been nominated
mm-hmm.
but weren't. And I wanted to call it snub because that's hard when it's just a voting system. You can't really snub people.
and these are not things where I'm like, this movie deserved. This is just, hey, Mike felt this way about this movie. So it's hard to say like it was snubbed because I'm a one-man voting machine. Uh-huh. So, you know, these are just movies that I enjoyed, movies that you enjoyed.
They should care about what Mike thinks.
They should just call me up the day before the nominations and be like, hey, Mike, what do you think?
So do you want to go first?
Sure. You know, the first movie that that was probably my, if not my favorite movie, one of my favorite movies of the year that I really enjoyed was Knives Out, mm-hmm. which I know that you saw, really, really enjoyed as well. Directed by Rian Johnson, who famously, or infamously, depending on the crowd that you were looking at, directed The Last Jedi, the second Star Wars movie in the most recent saga.
Mike and I differ on that one.
We do.
I loved it. He thought it was boring.
I was very, very bored. But he also did a movie a few years ago that I loved called Looper, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time. Anyway, so Knives Out is a great whodunit. I love a good mystery. I love Daniel Craig doing a Southern accent. He's just moved into this weird phase of his career where he just does like a Colonel Sanders impression every like few years or something like that. But he's great. And yeah, it just involves the murder of a rich socialite, a rich author, actually. Yeah. A rich mystery author, and trying to figure out who murdered him. And, also the intricacies of his family that has grown up with a lot of privilege.
Yes. Yeah. It is, you know, we won't spoil it either, but like, it's one of those movies where I walked out and I was like, they made a crowd-pleasing blockbuster movie about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it is a fantastic movie. I've seen it twice. Saw it with my parents when they were here.
Did your parents
just over
like
Christmas?
It?
They did.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I knew going into it, I was like, either they're going to hate this.
That was going to be dicey. Yeah.
Or they're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And they loved it. And so I actually think that was number 10 on the list for Best Picture nominees.
I think so, too.
You know,
it
just
was
didn't
very
get enough
close.
Votes
yeah.
to get in there.
Yeah, it had... It had a decent amount of nominations, just didn't quite get in for Best Picture. But
right. And it's my number three for the year. Like, it's just entertaining, great themes, great message. You could watch it again and again, and it's such a tight movie that you don't find any faults with it the more you watch it. It's like,
and it feels old-fashioned while still being topical, while still being very, very current with like what society's going through right now. And
I guess it's like its own style all itself. It's
highly recommend that for literally anybody.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most crowd-pleasing movie that I've seen this year.
Yeah. I think one for me that I'm disappointed about is, I can't say her name, Lupita...
Nyong?
Nyong.
My wife is going to kill me. She says it all the time. You know, the girl from Us.
Yes, the girl from Us. Yeah, she's the main character in Us. And I think her performance in Us playing two characters was amazing. And no reason why the Oscars should have overlooked her. Like, she should have been in. I know there's a lot of good performances this year, but... I think she could have bumped somebody out.
Oh, absolutely.
So
I think she's fantastic in that.
And that's the whole other problem of Oscars So White, because who are the best actress nominees?
Well, you have Renee Zellweger for Judy. You have Charlize Theron for Bombshell. Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story.
Here we go. Best performance by an actress in a leading role. Cynthia Erivo and Harriet, Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
And Little Women, Charlize Theron and Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger and Judy. Which, I mean, Oscar's so white type of thing. they're all white women.
There's one person that colors Harriet.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, don't you think Lupita did a better job than Cynthia? I mean, I didn't see Harriet.
I did not see Harriet either, but, I would not be disappointed by replacing any of these women with her.
Yeah.
I saw Judy. I loved it. I thought Renee Zellweger was great in it, but it's a very like Oscar-y performance.
She just makes me uncomfortable. I don't know why. Just every time she talks, I'm like, ah.
Fair enough.
Is there anything else for you? I got a couple of things.
I mean, I won't go on and on about John Wick 3 because I think that's just the best movie of the year. So going back to Best Picture, The Two Popes I thought was a fantastic movie this year.
I have that down too, so we agree on that.
Mm-hmm. About Pope Francis and Pope Benedict?
Yep.
So Pope Benedict, played by Anthony Hopkins, Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Sir.
where he decided to step down as Pope as the scandals were breaking out in the Catholic Church, and his conversations with and friendship with the eventual Pope Francis. Mm-hmm. And it is definitely a movie that Jordan and I would love because we are theology nerds.
Yes.
And there, a lot of the movie is just them debating theology. And a lot of the movie is them debating church doctrine mm-hmm. and how churches should be structured. But man, if it's not really, really good, like it's so good.
If you're into that, yeah, you'll love this movie.
If that sounds really, really good to you, I highly recommend it.
Yes. No, I agree. It was one of those that it had a lot of buzz, like back in October, about a Best Picture nominee. But I think it just kind of lost its way among all the bigger movies because this it does feel like a smaller movie, right?
It is,
and it's an actor's movie, just like Marriage Story.
Yeah, exactly.
You got
it's just two men in a room talking most of the time.
Yes, and eating pizza,
and watching football.
And it's just great. I mean, they both play the character so well, and just that tension between conserving the old ways or moving in a new direction. The theology of that is God changed? Does God stay the same? Like all these theological questions, church doctrine questions, are all played out by two really good actors that are doing career work, and they both got nominated for it, and so. I think that's the Academy's nod to the two popes, even though it, in our minds, should have been nominated for Best Picture.
Yes, I would have loved that. I can't imagine just grabbing a random person off the street and being like, you gotta see two popes. I don't know who that was made for other than like Jordan and myself.
Yeah. but it's great. It's on Netflix. People can watch it.
That's true.
If you grew up Catholic, if you're no longer Catholic, you probably love it. You know, just seeing.
I did not grow up Catholic, and I
did not either.
So.
Yeah, but we are also theology nerds, so
it's true.
I will say, Avengers Endgame.
hey, nothing wrong with that.
You know, I really thought after Black Panther's success last year and being nominated for Best Picture, that Avengers Endgame would have a shot at Best Picture. Because it is such a, I guess the downside to it is you really had to pay attention to the whole Marvel 20-some movies before this to really, for it to pay off really well.
Which we did.
Which we did, yes. But it was such a satisfying conclusion while at the same time things are going to keep going.
Yeah.
But it was a conclusion for that chapter. Mm-hmm. And I still don't understand how they did it because this movie could have gone just horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. Like it could have been.
It's time travel and like weaving all these different storylines together. Mm-hmm. And the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe should not have worked.
Right.
And it did.
Yeah. And this movie is basically the story of this Marvel Cinematic Universe in one movie. Just like this shouldn't have worked. None of this should work, but it does. Mm-hmm. And it's emotional. I think that movie is emotional. It's crowd pleasing. I think Marvel really walks this tightrope of popcorn entertainment, but also strong themes that have a purpose.
Sure.
And I think for Endgame, especially Tony Stark's arc through all the movies is completed with him beginning as a selfish person that doesn't care about anybody else to ultimately giving the biggest sacrifice of all for others, right? To give his life to save others. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a fantastic movie. And
can I just say, I think it's so funny that you went from I love two popes to I love Avengers Endgame. This movie about space aliens and time travel. And
my tastes vary.
Yeah, very eclectic, very varied.
It was like last year, one of my favorite movies was Mandy, and I would never suggest that to another human being unless
you suggested
it
to me
because I know your taste in movies, and I'm like, you need to see this. But any other, I don't want to say normal person, but like any other just general audience person, I'm not going to suggest that movie to. But but Avengers Endgame, I think you have to recognize it in some way for the achievement that it is, and it's probably just going to get best special effects, which I don't even know if it'll get that, but
yeah, I think that it'll probably get that. But yeah, not everything needs to be rewarded by the Oscars. And, you know, the Oscars people, I think, would argue like, oh, Avengers Endgame is not a an Oscar movie.
Right.
I think that they're counting their billions of dollars and not being too worried about the best picture snub.
Yeah. You know, if they really took some of that profit and really put into a campaign, they could have done it.
They could put like 1/100th of their profit into a campaign, and it would be the most expensive campaign that anybody's ever run. Last thing I'll talk about really, really quick. A lot of people have mentioned this. You have not seen this movie yet. Little Women was nominated for Best Picture. A lot of actors were nominated for it. Greta Gerwig, the director, not nominated for Best Director. Mm-hmm. And this is another year where it's all it's an all-male director group. And Greta Gerwig's direction in this movie is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. She does a great job of just bringing these performances out of these actresses. I didn't know Little Women that well. I know a lot of people grew up with that story. I couldn't have told you. I knew that.
It's because we're men.
I know. Don't teach us I was like, story. I know that there's a sister who dies, and that's all I know. And one of them is really, really headstrong.
Right.
I loved Little Women. I thought it was one of the best movies of the year. And they took one of the she took one of the characters that's apparently one of the most reviled characters in this, and she becomes the most likable, the most like beloved character in this adaptation of the movie. So that's somebody that I think that the that should have been rewarded, should have been looked at, and she should be taken more seriously.
Yeah, I heard since I haven't seen it yet, I heard that her direction and her choices she made for the story actually fixed some things with like the story from the book that people had, the problems they had with it.
And
she,
tell you, but
she changed it up in a way that fixed some of those things. And I mean, somebody can do that with a book that's 150 years old, like power to them.
And I am not the target audience for this movie by any means. Yeah. And I thought it was fantastic.
Who's this movie for? Like your mom and her friends?
My wife.
Your wife?
My sister. Like,
yeah. It's one I think Michelle and I have both been kind of dragging our feet because we don't like those period pieces like that time. And
it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I look forward to it. I've heard a lot of good things about it. So, and you know, I think those are kind of the big things for you and I about things missing out. There's all kinds of good movies from this year, but
Detective Pikachu,
Cats.
Oh no,
Cats.
Cats. Legitimately, I like Blinded by the Light. If you ever saw, did you see that movie?
I did not see that
one. It's based around the music of Bruce Springsteen, about a Pakistani immigrant in England.
Yeah. And it's kind of quasi musical. Right?
Not really.
Not really.
No, just plays a lot of Bruce Springsteen songs, which, like, I'm here for that.
Yeah.
But that movie's fantastic. That wasn't seen by a lot of people. You know, I know you really like Booksmart. That wasn't seen by a lot of people. So a lot of movies out there that general audiences haven't really seen that aren't going to be honored on Oscar Sunday, but that are easily accessible and are really, really enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a good year for movies, I think. But 2020 looks pretty desolate in the movie department, at least right now.
Yeah.
But I think when you look ahead, you're looking at those big tentpole movies, and there's not a whole lot of them this year because Star Wars is done for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel just had their big ending with Endgame. I mean, they have Black Widow, but
is anybody really like clamoring for a
Black
Widow movie?
Nobody's clamoring for it. And I'm sure I'll go. I'll enjoy it.
I'm sure I'd probably go with you.
I'll enjoy it, but it feels like Black Widow feels like a movie that's a little too late. Like it should have been made 4 years ago.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that was a criticism of Marvel that they weren't having any female led movies. Mm-hmm. And then Captain Marvel was the first one last year. And, but Black Widow should have been done a while back.
Mm-hmm.
But in other things, I don't know what else to look forward to in 2020. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's some very serious movies that are coming out. It's January.
Yeah.
There'll be some good movies that come out, and there'll be some bad movies that get nominated for Best Picture that we get to roll our eyes at a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 2019 was great. I don't think I have any other ones that popped to my head. I mean, that would just be covered in our top 10 of the year. But
no, I'll just add, you know, people should just go see movies. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a huge part of our culture. It's a huge part of the art forms that are out there today. And it's a wildly entertaining way for you to spend your time and be educated and to see a different perspective on things or just see somebody's story that they want to tell. So go see more movies. Yeah.
Martin Scorsese says that films create empathy for one another. Mm-hmm. Like you hear somebody's story, your perspective can change. Like, and what's weird to me is in history, Christians have kind of been standoffish to film. Mm-hmm. But film is a powerful way to teach truths. And I think a lot of movies do that. And good movies can both entertain and teach mm-hmm. at the same time. And so movies are a way of helping us understand each other better. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So next time you hear from us, you'll hear about The Irishman and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.